Hello, dear listener, it's Daniel. Now, before we get to this episode, just want to remind you, me and Core just launched a Patreon. For $7 a month, you can get exclusive content. Now, how do you sign up for said exclusive content? Well, we made it easy. There's a link down in the show notes, or go to patreon.com/litdpod. We'll see you soon. Now, let's get to today's episode.
Welcome to Light in the Darkness.
Off-topic episodes are a sub-series within the greater Light in the Darkness podcast, where Daniel and I have the chance to step away from our normal supernatural and paranormal fare. These are our normal day-in and day-out conversations. The only difference is this time we set up the microphones and we're recording it, so you can take a listen.
So consider yourself invited to the digital campfire, if you will. The microphones are on, the coffee's hot and still here. The chairs, not bad. I remembered my cushion.
But before we get to tonight's topic, Danny boy, we've been discovering with our listeners, we've been on a journey, if you will, of discovering the myriad of uses of our lovely Light in the Darkness stickers.
We have. They're kind of a Swiss Army knife, if you will, because the uses, you know, like plugging a boat, starting a fire, fixing a flat, patching a hang glider in a parachute or a hot air balloon. Those were the most recent that came to mind. Yes. Not an oxygen tent. Someone asked us about that, and we don't feel right using them for medical purposes.
Actually, we did just recently discover a different medical purpose, Daniel.
Oh, patching a stab or bullet wound.
Maybe. If you get enough of these things and stick them together, you could use them as a stretcher. That's how sticky they are.
Oh, I forgot that we did that. Yes, right.
At your baby shower.
Yeah.
Somebody had a little bit of a tumble, got too excited over the myriad of gifts, the mountain, the majesty.
Yeah. And that person wasn't even there for my event. They just happened to also be at this locale. Whomever you were.
Took a little bit of a tumble. Anyway, we had enough stickers in the car. We just slapped together. Quick stretchered them on out of that bad boy. And I hope they're doing well.
Yeah.
Our thoughts and prayers are with you.
And we're so glad that we could patch that EMT hot air balloon that took you away.
So if you, dear listener, need a sticker for all of life situations, you can go to litdpod.com/support or click on the link to support the show in the show notes, and we will send you a sticker with your first donation of absolutely any amount. And we would appreciate it. When you donate to us, that's very...
Oh, you're talking about tonight's topic, kindness. This week's off topic has been bouncing around in there for, a couple weeks. I've talked about it at work with you and Emma just for a snippet. I've been talking about...
I love how Emma is now part of like every off topic. We just say her name like people know who she is.
You know, if you guys don't know, Emma is a good friend of mine and Corey's, and she works with us. She's also got a great brain and wonderful feedback. She will shoot holes in something if you're not careful.
And now Emma will be entering most of our stories and off topics going forward.
I don't see why not. So, in talking with you and our newest member of the show, Emma, at work... this one really started bouncing around, and the biggest part of it is it came from Abby, just trying to reaffirm something that I was, I guess, kind of blind to the Lord about, or rather, I was blind to what the Lord was trying to do through me in certain situations, and even though I was still willing and would do them, I did not see them that way, and it's kindness, and it sounds so basic. It sounds like the easiest thing in the world to do, a smile and a hug. But in today's world, in this chaotic, but interesting time to be alive, there seems to be a lot of hurt, and there seems to be a lot of enter whatever emotion you want, but it's almost like kindness is at the bottom of that list. I almost feel like sometimes we don't have the energy to spend on it, or even, I guess, the big part that it matters. So before we start diving into what I believe it is and what the Lord wants us to do with it and how to walk in it, what is kindness to you, bro?
I think one of the things that probably impacts me the most with kindness, and like, I don't know, when I think of other people showing me kindness, it's often when people tell me that they're praying for me and I actually know they mean it. It's not like a passing thought. It's not like just some comment. It's like, hey, I was praying for you the other day and the Lord showed me this, or just, hey, I want to let you know I was praying for you. That's really, really significant. Honestly, another way is when people donate to our show, like we said it jokingly and during the intro, but no, really, that kindness, there's just something about a complete stranger on the other side of the world that I've never gotten to meet. The Lord moves their heart enough for them to show us the kindness to give us a donation. And those things impact you. Now, the way I show kindness, that's an interesting question. I would like to say that I'm probably pretty decent at showing kindness. I don't think it's like in areas I need to improve in. I don't think that that's like at the top of the list. That's not my testimony anymore. I think that I often try to show kindness, even if it's as simple as making eye contact with someone. If they have a name tag on, I look at the name tag and I say their name. Like, thank you, Caitlin, for serving our table, or what have you. Acknowledging people, letting them know, I see you, I know you exist, I know you have things going on behind your eyes, and I care. Even enough to acknowledge it. I might not be able to go there with you, I might not be able to fix it, but I just want to let you know I see it and I care.
So a huge part, what I just heard of being kind, is being intentional. Even though at this point in your walk, it's almost subconscious. You know, it's not like you have to try really hard to be kind. It's in there. It's part of your walking in love, but you still are intentional. And I think the funny thing, what you just said, is doesn't sound like you always were, because I've heard a few stories over the course of our friendship of old Corey, and old Corey would cut you.
I don't know if old Corey would cut you, but he'd sure think about it.
I meant with words. Sharp tongue.
I don't know. I think I was probably always kind-hearted. I just don't think I had, again, the intentionality behind it. I think I was just always, not always, but I tried to be a nice guy.
Yeah.
Although I had jerk tendencies. I still have jerk tendencies. But now I see intentionality behind it, and I want, my goal with kindness is to connect people to the heart of God every time. And part of that is just that's how he's wired me. And part of that's more I get to know him, the more I'm conformed into his image. He is a kind God. Even in his firmness, even in his righteousness, even when he's asking more of us or commanding more of us, he is kind in doing it. And I think that that has just shaped me throughout the course of my relationship with him to walk in kindness. What about you?
I always had a weird view on it. I almost saw it as a weakness, if I'm going to be 100% transparent. I would never say I was a jerk, but I wouldn't say I was always a nice guy. I always thought that a man's man was somebody who really wasn't swayed by how other people felt. He wasn't really concerned with it. Didn't have time for it. That you were just this tough, go-through-life-feel-nothing kind of guy. Well, let me say this, and that's how I saw me. Let me say that. that I saw myself as this tough guy, and I feel you're not going to change me. That's not me at all, if you know me. I actually care. Let me go ahead and tell you. If someone's upset in the room, I care about that. And the closer I've gotten to Christ, the more I almost feel it on me when I see that person in the room who I know is going through something or has had a recent hurt in their life. And I've come to realize that being a man's man isn't being unfeeling. It's quite the opposite. It's caring, because that person sitting across from me is also a child of Christ. They're also part of this kingdom. And what's going on in them matters. And that, in my opinion, the most manly thing I can do is to smile and make them feel loved. And there is a version of me 10 years ago that might punch me in the mouth for saying that, but there's a version of me right now that knows that's what the Father would want. I read in Colossians 3 last night. And if you're wanting to follow along with us, verses 1 through 17 talk about how those made alive in Christ live. And verse 12 says this, "Clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And I thought about that. And it's just funny how the deeper and more mature my walk with Christ gets, the more I want to just think about all those things coming into play into who I am and trying to emanate those characteristics with people. And the one that he's been rattling around in my heart the most lately is kindness. And like you said earlier, being intentional with that kindness are the moments where I find sometimes it can be the most effective. One of those moments, well, is this. I was in the drive-thru with my nephew, Gavin, who is just my buddy. He's great. I took him just to get lunch. It was a guy's day. I noticed the couple behind us in line is having a verbal argument. When they went up to the order kiosk, it was obvious because you could kind of hear the noise coming from the car. It wasn't violent or anything, but it was a scuffle. And I told him, I said, "Hey, buddy, you know what we're going to do?" Of course, "What, Uncle Dan?" "We are going to pay for the car behind us." "Why?" I was like, "You know, because sometimes random acts of kindness are fun, but I really feel like those people are having a bad day. Uncle Dan can see them. And I just think a little something, a pick-me-up, would do them some good. And you know why we should do that?" Of course, his sweet little voice, "Why, Uncle Dan?" Because Jesus would want us to do that. It was so cool. Because in this moment of us stuffing our face with good old Christian chicken from Chick-fil-A, I was able to tell my nephew, you know, we just did that because that's what the Father would want us to do. I didn't stick around to see what the couple did. Because everything in my spirit said, "That's what I wanted you to do. Now drive away and I'll take care of the rest." But it was great. I had a moment right there with Gav. And we got to talk about why that little act of kindness was important. It sowed a seed. I'll give you one more. I was getting in my car one day at Publix. I noticed an old man getting into his car next to me. And we had the same car. And I, being me, was just like, "Hey, that's a good looking car you got there." And he turned around and he laughed. He's like, "Thanks, fella." And about 20 minutes later, we're still talking. My wife's sitting in the car, and I am waiting at any point her to just reach over and knock on the glass or nothing. But I keep glancing in the car, and all I notice is she's just sitting there smiling. And we're kind of already late for a family cookout, but I just keep glancing at Abby, and she's...
Of course.
I know, right?
Of course. If you guys don't know Abby and Daniel, they were on time to dinner today, but that was probably the last time they were on time, and oh, I don't know.
Since the last time we had dinner. Thank you. And I shook his hand before I left, and it was just car talk, guy talk, and he's telling me about his kids, and I told him I got one on the way, and... He just shook my hand. He said, "Thanks for talking to me." And I was like, "I love to talk to people." He's like, "I wish more people did." I just saw this old guy smiling and, you know, hanging out of his car, waving at us as he's backing out. And just everything in my spirit said, "That's what I wanted you to do." And I know if you're hearing this, you're going, "Okay, you had a conversation with an old man." But it's like Corey was saying earlier, he felt like somebody saw him. I think the problem sometimes with today's society is we get stuck in this staring at our cell phone mode, staring at a TV screen, staring at whatever. And we miss these little cues sometimes that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. And I think that's on purpose. I don't think that's any by chance thing. I think the enemy wants us to be distracted in many different forms. But I always think there's these little fleeting moments where the Lord just wants us to love on someone, to reach out, and even to make a point of contact. Jesus did that. Jesus did that when he was coming down from the mountain and there was the guy with leprosy. And Jesus touched him. Jesus touched him and he was healed. Then the guy ran off and he showed the Pharisees. And that was so big because Jesus touched the untouchable. Jesus said, "Societal norms be darned." And he touched the untouchable guy. And I think we have those untouchable people in our lives. I had one the other day. I missed it. I missed the moment. And I was supposed to talk to someone, and I felt it the whole car ride home. There was a lady in the parking lot, and the Lord told me later on I was supposed to stop and speak with her, and I missed it, and I had to repent for it. And the reason I missed it is because I saw her. She was looking into people's car windows in the parking lot. She was pulling on door handles, and then she kept stopping every person to ask for money. And it got to me. I said, "No, ma'am. I don't have any money." And I thought, you know, you're trying to steal stuff from people. Jesus, Jesus hung out with those people. Jesus wasn't too good to hang out with those people. He had Zacchaeus, who's a tax collector. And we all know the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He climbed up in the tree for the Lord he wanted to see. But why? Why did this wealthy man who seemed to have everything want to glimpse the Son of God? Well, because he didn't have everything. And essentially, Jesus is just like, you know, we're going to have dinner at your house, man. And this guy who essentially was a white-collar criminal of his day, he was a tax collector, a thief. Jesus had time for him. And the Lord weighed in on that with me. It's like, you know, you could have had time for that lady. I want you to know that, son. And I've had to wallow around in that a little bit and really think on that. And it's sometimes our thinking, our wiring gets changed as we walk through life, just like with kindness with me.
And I know exactly what you're talking about, missing it and not taking that time, not connecting with people. And it makes you learn to do that more often. I remember how kindness has impacted me and how other people have shown me kindness. So far, we've been talking about us being kind to other people. But what about a time that kindness has actually impacted us? Because we can talk all day about the times we've stopped people and said, hey, I see you.
Yeah.
But we can only speculate as to how that made them feel. I remember when I was in high school, I had a girlfriend and her uncle was a pastor. And I wanted to be in ministry and I thought that was the coolest thing ever. He, shocker, shocker, heard the voice of God and that made me instantly bond to him. Like he had a prophetic gifting. So obviously that got me ready to hitch my wagon and go. So it's really embarrassing to admit looking back, but I always wanted to go over there and hang out with him and stuff like that. So I would like call him. And if he didn't answer, I'd wait like 15 minutes and I'd call him back. And he'd probably look at his phone at the end of the night and see like 3 or 4 missed calls from me. And he kept being like, I just want to let you know that my house, it's not big, but it's big enough that if my phone's on the other side of the room, I'm not like you young people. I don't keep my phone on me all the time. So if it's on the other side of the room of the house, I'm not going to hear it. And I think that was his subtle way of saying, like, stop calling me so much. I'll get to you when I get to you. But I was just like, okay, maybe you'll hear me the next time. And I just kept calling back. But despite all that, he was incredibly kind to me and he would give me time. Like when it was inconvenient to him, when he was tired, obviously looking back, I can see I wasn't as self-aware back then and I didn't pick up on social cues as well as I do now. But he was incredibly kind to me. And when I broke up with his niece, it was an incredibly devastating blow to me. And I quickly spiraled and that was an incredibly painful thing to me. I thought the girl was going to be my wife, you know, just all this stuff. And he didn't cut me off. He didn't stop talking to me. I was no longer his niece's boyfriend. I was just this guy. I was just this kid. And he continued to let me come over. He continued to connect with me. He continued to make me dinner. And he continued to talk to me late into the night when he was tired, telling me stories about ministry that he had done and traveling to Mexico and all the things that he was a good storyteller, but I digress. Just that kindness got me through that season of heartache. That kindness, I had a place to go. I had someone to go and talk to, and I'll never forget that kindness. And when I make it big one day, I'm going to send a nice $10,000 check to the bishop just as a thank you.
Right on.
What about you, Danny? What's a time that your life has been wrecked by someone else's kindness?
I got one that it's hard to talk about. I'll do my best to get through it because it takes me right back there. I was never a big sports guy, but I am so grateful that in the 7th grade I played basketball. And not because of the game. Not because of the good friends that I had, the good teammates, but because of Coach Jerry Henderson. I've only met a few people in my life who I could really say, like, that person's walking in love. Like, I feel like everything they do, they're trying to walk in love. And it says that in Ephesians 5:2, if you want to check me on it. Jesus calls us to walk in love. But in the 7th grade, my parents were splitting. And I was also in IT class, ITE. Coach Henderson was the teacher in there. He was so different from every other person I'd ever met because if you were wrong, he'd call you on it. He didn't give you grief over it. It was just, you were wrong. Now let's fix it. There was a firmness, but yet a forgivingness about him that I still to this day don't understand, but hope to one day achieve that level of walking in love. I remember one day he pulled me into the supply closet. We were building bridges in class. And I guess we were building them then emotionally too, but he never called me. I know, right?
How's that for some Holy Spirit hindsight? Yeah.
He never called me by my first name unless things got serious. Normally, I was always Steel, whether it was on the basketball court or in the classroom, but he called me by my first name, which weirded me out. And he said, Daniel, I want to know how you're doing. And, you know, we were talking about younger me earlier and what I thought it was to be a tough guy. And I said, I'm fine. What are we even talking about? He said, I just want to see how you're doing, son. And I just want you to know you don't have to, but if you ever want to talk about it, whether it's on the court, whether it's in here, we can always come in the supply closet real quick. He said, we can pray about it. It doesn't matter. And in that moment, something changed to me. And I thought, okay, this is actually a safe place. And so I didn't say a lot, but I just told him, I said, you know what? It sucks. That's how it feels. He said, I get that. He said, you talk to the Lord about it. I said, not really. He's like, he could give you way more than I ever could. But he always encouraged me to take things back to the Father. I remember one day in the basketball court, man, I was double dribbling. I was missing shots. I was fouling. I was so upset about nothing on that court, about something entirely elsewhere. And he rips me aside on the side of the court. And he's like, I want you to listen to me. I don't want you to say another word. I don't want you to curse under your breath. I don't want you to yell. I want you to say Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's like, if you're not saying that, then I don't want to hear you saying anything. And if you're taking a shot, you're saying I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you're dribbling the ball, that's what you're saying. And for the next 15 minutes, I didn't miss a shot. And for the next 15 minutes, I couldn't be stopped going up and down that court. And I actually had a friend pull me aside and say, what did he say to you? You haven't missed or double dribbled. And I said, he told me to quote scripture. And he said, what? I said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I believed it. And I realized it wasn't about taking the shots on the court. It wasn't about dribbling the ball. It was going, whatever happens at home, whatever happens to me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so, forget 15 minutes. For 15 years or more since then, I have bought that. And every now and then I forget it. But it was the kindness of that man who stopped to say, this kid matters. And he was intentional, and it rocked my world.
You know, before we pressed record, we got quiet. And I highly recommend that, dear listener. Just get quiet before the Lord. Normally, before we press record, we're going to worship. We're going to, I don't know, pray or what have you. But we just, instead of doing all that, we did that a little bit earlier, but we just got quiet. And I'm not thinking about anything. I just quiet my mind. And I look up, and we record in a room that has an exit light in it. And it's hanging up on the wall back there. And I was just looking at that exit light. And it's the kind that has an arrow on each side. And you can tell when you're looking at it that, like, the arrow on one side has like this little piece of plastic in it, so it's not lit up. And the other arrow, that little piece of plastic was taken off, so you know which way the exit is, right? So there's a light shining inside that box. And the only difference between one arrow and the other is that there's something blocking the way for it to be visible. The light's still shining. You just can't see it. The Lord just kind of quietly spoke to me, and he said, showing someone kindness is what takes that little piece of plastic out. Showing someone kindness is what lets them see my love shining. Lets them see that I care about them. And, you know, sometimes people, all it takes is one act of kindness, and they're going to see it, and they're going to get it, and they are going to walk in it, and they are going to, it's going to change their day. It's going to change their life. It's going to change the next 15 years of their life. It's going to do amazing things. And some people, it's going to take one act of kindness after another act of kindness after another act of kindness, kind of like how the Lord shows us one act of kindness after another act of kindness
after another act of kindness to try to show us his love. So I just want to encourage your listeners, show us some kindness. We have a world that is progressively filled with hatred of anything that's different than you, not different, just different than you and what you know. We have a world that is full of spirits of death and spirits of murder and spirits of hatred and spirits of rage and all these different things. And there is a light shining, and it's shining inside of you. It's the light Jesus placed there. We're Light in the Darkness podcast, baby. Take that piece of plastic off and let them see the arrow inside of you that's pointing to Jesus.
The last thing that the Lord said to me when we were finishing our little moment the other night when he was laying all this down was two words: it matters. And it just echoed in my spirit for what felt like 5-10 minutes. It matters. It matters. It matters. It sets us apart. And it isn't always the easiest thing to do, but it matters. We love you guys. Try it. See what happens. Till next time, take care, y'all.